The tales of hunting would always glorify the hunter. And you know, I'll say that again. Folks, I said until the lions have their own historians, the tales of hunting would always glorify the hunter. Hello and welcome to the most opinionated hour on radio and the nation's thought-provoking hour. I am Dana Ansakwa IV, chief of the Little Republic of Akwemu Edumasa. And I say thank God it's Monday, another beautiful opportunity. Here we are once again to perform this wonderful ritual. A ritual performed once a week, but it leaves us pondering all week. Now by this time, the discerning have assembled, the patriots have gathered, and the deep thinkers are ready for today's sermon. Only on Joy 99.7 FM every Monday at this time. So I'd say, let us all gather and make truth good. And our topic today, folks, the animal called democracy. The animal called democracy. Folks, this is a topic that I am going to treat from the palace perspective instead of the academic point of view. But not to say that we should all become chiefs and jump, you know, into some palace somewhere. No. So please bear with me. But it's about time, folks, that the likes of Dr. Drew Sine, the likes of Professor Bafwaji Menduia, you know, people of that caliber should sit down on a round table, give it a real academic point of view on this issue, if I may call it, and come back with a new blueprint. Last week, our topic was, has schooling been a blessing or a curse? Now, my concern was that there may be a psychological code, something that we do within the educational structure, something hidden in the structure which makes us unable to change even when things don't work for us. Now, I'm saying this with all seriousness. We become so helpless. We become like addicts. So we know it's bad. We know it's not helping us. Folks, we even see others do better. We see best practices. Folks, we see and feel the negative effects on us. But we simply can't do anything. Many things. I can give you so many examples. Folks, sometimes the painful things, that the measures needed to change are so simple, but we just can't do it. Even if lives are lost, folks, I mean, it gets to a point where even when lives are being lost, it's like, so be it. Because that's for change in a day. And yadi ayebesisa. It won't happen. And then the common man in a trotro from Accra to Medina will sometimes be wondering that if somebody would just shift a little bit, just a small policy, this thing could be eradicated. But no, we are unable to change. Now that's how entrenched our coma is. Where do we get this coma from? Because history tells us otherwise. Folks, history tells us otherwise. So where is it that we get the coma from? History is replete with our forebears fighting against things that were contrary to what they believed in or didn't want. I mean, they fought it. Eventually, they lost the fight, but they fought it. So where did we get this coma from? Folks, Western democracy, from Athens to Greece to the Western world, and now has become the yardstick of good governance. You must go and vote, elect a leader, give a set period of time, and then go back and vote again. And indeed, I don't know if our one man, one vote for president and MP is practiced anywhere in the Western world. This one that we wonder, you get to the ballot box, or tobacco my president, no tobacco my MP. I don't know how many Western world have that practice. But let's give it to them. Some Western countries have really developed on the back of multi-party system. Just give it to them. However, folks, if you look at their dynamics, their nature, what they hate and what they like, their history, their trials and tribulations that they went through, it is far different from us. Folks, here we are still grappling with the lines drawn or the demarcation in 1845. We are here, still wondering whether part of Ghana is in Togo or part of Togo is in Ghana. We haven't even determined that yet. The languages, the culture. One town hates pigs, the other town hates goats. Just the vast difference between us. And yet, within all this difference, we found a way to coexist. So if we devise a system of governance, which now says that you must divide and rule, folks, it becomes very tricky. Because in spite of all these differences, we devised our own system of governance, which still stands and works to date. I must say, maybe in a traditional level, not on a national level, that's a whole different ballgame. But on the traditional level, you know, the Kwamu, the Ashantis, the Fantis, the system of governance still works, still relates to the people, and people still relate to them, and it worked. So, folks, naturally, we are a people who do things together, hardly competing. And so to suddenly form groups or parties and ask them to compete, to rule or compete for power, where our base is very, very weak. Our base, the base that will go, the electorate, are very weak in terms of too many are poor. Let me use that word for want. People who are struggling to get by are too much. Folks, people who are ignorant are too much. The middle class is almost non-existent, too slim. The middle class, who normally are the movers and shakers, are too slim. As for upper class, wherever you go in the world, it is for the omdomodriomo. They don't care about those who are down there. They are the 1% on the top, and they are concentrating about the 1%. So it is the middle and those at the bottom. Now, when those at the bottom become so destitute, in times like these, folks, you can literally go out there, dish out 500 cedis per vote, 500 cedis per vote, 500 cedis per vote. And to some of them, it's survival. To a majority of them, it's ignorance. But in order for this system to work, folks, we should be very, very switched on. We should be very comfortable within ourselves understand what the processes means, that when you go to the ballot, you're literally going to give your power to somebody. Yes, I'm going to vote. It doesn't make, you see, when you say those things and you don't translate, so what? It doesn't mean anything. I'm going to throw a stone, I'm going to throw a nut. It doesn't make anything. But if we say, who do to me come obi? Maybe gradually we'll bring people on board. So as a united people who do everything together, naturally, towns living next door to each other would always help each other. Chiefs, this Saturday we're going to Dodowa. Kona Hene will come, Ebri Hene will come, Manfi Hene will come, Edumasa Hene is coming, Abutechi Hene is coming, Apredi Hene is coming. We're not going to compete with Dodowa chief. We're going to help him for his festival to be big. And that's who we were. And so I'm saying that if we are now adopt a system, where we are not supposed to help each other, but we are supposed to break ourselves up and compete, it becomes very chaotic. And that's how come you look across all of African countries. Yes, they are voting and they are doing everything, but they just can't cut it. Folks, the same system that's working in the Americas and working in all these countries that we emulate, Epiduha, we just can't cut it. Because the dynamics are so different. And so here we are, divided. You have Party A in government. You have Party B waiting to come. Party C, D, F, they are all waiting to come. When something happens in the town or the country and it's really bad and people are suffering, Party A, B, C, D, E, F secretly are gloating. Got to know that when it gets to the ballot box, the people will remember this suffering and give them the option to come. And if it so happens, and Party B now comes into position, they are doing the same. They are also praying and hoping that something will go wrong so that when we get to the ballot, they will also get the chance to come. And ironically, the base becomes so drunk or polarized. Drunk and polarized. And in our case, now I think we've hit the crescendo where people sitting in poisonous water will still cheer up. And you must, because as soon as you're going to talk about it in terms of party lines, then leave the poisonous water as it is. And the Janissar. So how then do we go, how are we going to develop? Not to talk about the expensive way in which to run these elections. Now elections are coming, folks. I don't know if the train has come past you yet. But anytime they go past is money. And when they come, they will share party paraphernalia, and you see the pickups with all the labels on it. Folks, any for you. And yet somehow the base are not supposed, aren't strong enough. Well, the base, no, not true. But the middle class, the taxpaying class, are not big enough to stop and say, Jack, who's paying for all that? And where is all that coming from? Nobody knows. Nobody cares. And also more court, no more back, no more court, no more back, no more court. And nobody's dressed in red and white, so definitely it's not Father Christmas. It's definitely not Father Christmas. So one day, we will have to pay. And say, I'm asking, this animal called democracy, can't we look at our history, our suffering, our culture, the way in which we are so diverse with different languages and different cultures and everything, and make our own democracy? Because after all, all we are trying to achieve is rule of law and human rights. People's ability to come and decide that A should lead or B should lead. Is there a way in which we sit at the table now? Forget about this comatose thing that our education puts us through and sit and say, going forward, this is how we want to do it. The Chinese have said, look, forget this democracy thing you're talking about. We have our own way. They are looking at meritocracy. And then within them, they have the system with which to push the best man upwards. It is working for them. They are eliminating poverty. They are expanding. And the whole world is looking up to them. They didn't conform to this every 4 years. Now, one thing, folks, is our hunger to vote seems to supersede the reason why we want to vote. Our hunger to vote, our hunger to have our names in this book to get the voting card seems to supersede every reason why we need to vote. The whole idea of you voting is to vote somebody to make the country better than what he or she found it. And yet, if we vote for the person and he's taking the country even further back because we voted for that person, it's okay. That's why I'm saying that democracy is not for the weak. It's not for the ignorant. It's not for the illiterate. It is for the deep thinking and understanding. Some of these things, people are poor. People are ignorant. But so be it. I didn't make them poor. I didn't make them ignorant. It is this same democracy that is electing people who are not willing to empower people to come up and be switched on. And so you look at my area, right? The roads are so bad. So when the politicians are coming to campaign, what they do is that they will send the people money, say, Mufa Kamre, because so we can't be bothered to come to that side. The roads are too bad. So you rather take a car and come, and they will put on their t-shirts and hop into their cars, boom, 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 and go, and they will go and cheer and give them funds and everything and come. Yo, if you were switched on, as soon as somebody told you that, why should I drive on this terrible road to come and give you funds? Why don't you come? After all, you are the ones in the four who drives. So that's what I am talking about, folks. That this animal called democracy, if we don't Ghanaize it, if we don't Africanize it, it will finally kill us all. And so you look at Mali, Burkina Faso, Niger, and you ask yourself, why are the citizens so happy that the military is taking over? Why are coups suddenly becoming, the in thing? And why are the citizens excited? Now, personally, I don't think it's just because they're soldier fool. People really, I don't think they care about the style of governance so far as the governance can provide them what they need. Whether it's one party, 10 party, 25 parties, if they wake up in the morning and the education system is working, they go to their hospital and there's a bed and there are doctors and they are qualified and their equipment in the hospital, the roads are paved, the light is on, economy is expanding and they are getting a job, I don't think they would be too bothered. And so I am calling on the learned ones here, those who are deeply read in this country, the in-depth ones, to come up and think through what style of governance we need. By all means, reduce the powers of the president. By all means, make the president very, very vulnerable. The president should be vulnerable. Anybody who's given power should be given a lot of vulnerability, so that you are always on your toes, making sure you don't slip. But how can it be that clergy, the unions, academia, students, now fed, you know, traditional priests, everybody hitting the road to say, help us drive people off water bodies. And in the name of democracy, yes, you claim 4 years' time, or claims the president in the time, so on, then you can do whatever you want to do. And the one fundamental thing about democracy is the ability to intervene. One fundamental thing about democracy is the ability to intervene when things are not going right. But we have limited democracy to just queuing up and voting. So register the, make sure so Dean will book them and go and vote. After, that is the end of your democracy. Asa, that's the end of your democracy until next 4 years. Whether you are denied schools, health, road, water, name it, you can be denied anything. We are okay with it. Look at the number of people who hit the road when they wanted the EC to, you know, correct things in the book. Look at the number of people that come, compared to the number of people who come to the road because there's no water. It's just a democracy, you know. Just a votocracy. As who vote to, we are go and sleep until next 4 years. Only democracy near Simbiebio, and we seem to buy it. We must change it. Where the leader is vulnerable, where the leader can be kicked out even before their term is up. So that when people say no, enough is enough, the leader will respond. But where the leader is untouchable and has been given imperial powers because some Western world said so, folks, I am not the expert on this matter. Oye Nafienya, I see you. Folks, I am not an expert on this matter. Zero 302-215. Well, hello, and who's talking to me?
This is Nicholas from Yeningo.
Look, let me hear you, my brother.
Okay. Yes, in our society, that is, I mean, Ghana, we are made up of so many ethnic groups. So coming together like the way the Chinese are, it will be very challenging. That is what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And if the military are to take over, after some time, who will take over again? Is it that one of the generals will take over after another general?
No, let me interject here. What I'm saying is, I'm not saying we should give to the military or follow the Chinese. What I'm saying is the Chinese have found their strategy and they're doing it. Those who want military rule think it's better for them. But for us, what can we do to go forward? Because definitely we are struggling.
Yes. Nana, I am a teacher. Okay.
Yes.
Just last week, I talked about the impact of Europeans on Gold Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the negative things that they positively gain from us is to make them to be begging for them to see that whatever they do is always the right thing. And no matter what you say or do, the moment you say things against what they have brought to us, our fellows who are supposed to support us end up saying that you are not good. What you are saying, I understand you very well.
Mm.
It will be difficult. It will be challenging. However, there must be a bold step, like the military guy in Burkina Faso right now.
Mm-hmm.
The Rwanda man started. However, to me, he has kept too long.
Mm-hmm.
That's one aside. I don't know if any other country, but what the Burkinabe officer is doing, he's on the right path. But Ghana, my challenge issue is the ethnic groups, they will never come together.
Hmm.
That is the thing. If they will all come together, the chiefs all of you, Nana, including you, you will all come together and say that let us find a way. We will do it and it will be better. Because day in, day out, what our people are doing, I'm telling you. Recently, one politician came and we were told that he wants to meet those of us in the education sector. To be frank, my kids are with me. I didn't go. However, after 2 days, we went for a meeting. What I heard is, at the end of the day, after meeting the educationists in the church, he ended up giving them 200 cedis each. Look at that. It's very bad. Because we are saying we are practicing democracy, which is wrong. I think it is high time what you are saying. All of you, I mean you, the chiefs, come together. Come together. And when you come together, I'm sure there will be a positive way for Ghana.
Thank you very much for that. Thank you very much for that. And Yao is on the line. Hello, Yao.
Yeah, Nana. Yes. Nana, good evening.
Good evening.
You see, when I finished sixth form back in 1992, I wrote an article on this same issue before concerning Ghanaization or Africanization of our democracy. That was when I heard of the first ever by-election after there was a, I think the parliamentarian was parliamentarian died, excuse my language, and then myself and the younger brother of mine, who is Professor Sechofia Saba, he teaches in the UDS now. We wrote on this issue. This is the same issue you are discussing. But see, and now you talk about the comatose. Where is it coming from? The comatose, I want to deal with this thing.
Yeah.
And now my son went to write an exam to go to the Ghana Law School recently. And look, Nana, before they even went to write this exam, they are so frightened that nobody even wants to talk. But me as father, I will talk. They make you sign a form proscribing yourself from calling for your mark and even calling for your a remark if you feel aggrieved.
Wow.
Yes, that's happening now. And most at times, if you know, if these people know, there is a person who I respect so much who is on the board, who is on the examination, who is a chair. That is Henrietta Amabuto. That is a Supreme Court judge, a learned lawyer, of course, who has written a lot of books for the children to write. And a lot of people admire that lady. She is now the head. The people are just calling for. Look, you go and you come back and say, you just write. All the people who have passed, they just list it. Those who have failed, whatever mark they got before failing, whether they look, my child saying that look, if the Ghana Law School entrance examination is even marked, he said I doubt. So a child of 22 years has started doubting. Hello,
I'm here.
A child of 22 years has started doubting a whole well-established or a renowned institution of this nature, which was supposed to be training people in law, and I've never done law anywhere, but I know something.
Round it up for me.
There's something called unconscionability. This is just unconscionable. Somebody has paid, registered, and wrote an examination. You say you can just take your discretionary pass and come and tell you you have passed or you have failed without showing him his mark, without showing. Look, come on.
Thank you very much, and I share your passion there. I have Kwabena on the line. Hello, Kwabena.
Hello, Nana. Nana, good evening.
Good evening. Kwabena, USA?
Yes.
Ah, Kwabena,
so we're talking about Ghana's democracy, right? What about Ghana's democracy do you want to talk about?
Well, I am talking about we finding a democracy that suits us, considering our history, the wealth, educational structure, the population, the social structure. The Western democracy is for people who are accomplished. We are now finding our feet and we seem to be battling with it. And I'm saying, can we find a democracy that works well for us?
It's long overdue, Nana. You're right. It's long overdue. Mm. And this season, the past few months, it's not even this season, the past few years, about 2 years ago, when Dr. Ashide combined with Joy FM and the other media houses to fight the Lamse, that was the beginning of the fight to change our democracy. Well, our democracy is a sham. It's not good, right? Now, we've seen it come to a head. We have seen an imperial president who has all the powers. He lies about everything, even just a simple bill application. He's lying about it to an outside media instead of coming to Joy FM, right? Instead of coming to Joy FM to have him to be interviewed, he preferred an outside media.
Well,
let me make my last point. Let me make my last point. Like you said, we need to change the constitution. That is it. The unitary system does not give jurisdictional powers to, let's say we sit down and we do a good job, we could give jurisdictional powers to somebody in Ashanti region, somebody in the Eastern region, somebody in Greater Accra, somebody. It's because our system is unitary, so we take everything as a whole, right? We are not practicing a decentralized system. But this is the time we need to negotiate with all these people. Alan Chiamantin, I don't want to mention Baumia because he's part of the government. Alan Chiamantin, John Hammer. Let's negotiate with them and let's seek their partner, like a negotiated agreement as to how we are going to change this country. We need to make parliament equal to the Jubilee House. We need to make the Speaker of Parliament an elected official, not appointed. Nobody should appoint you. You should be elected by his constituents, and then he, based upon the agreement, we can make it a way that we separate the election of the president from the parliamentarians, either a year after, so that we can have a break in between Jubilee House and the Parliament. In that case, periodically, within 2 years, within the middle of the term, there will be a system where the balance of power will shift, right? So it means the president's power will diminish, and then somebody in parliament can take over and govern to move the country forward. If we don't do that, we are not going anywhere.
Governor, thank you very much. 03-02-316-541. Isaac James.
Good morning, Nana Nyangwada.
Medasi Isaac James, let me hear you.
Nana, in fact, I see it to be that the way we've cultured our constitution, this 1992 constitution, removing our traditional leaders, from our governance system is our problem. I've been listening to Professor Bafua Gimandia a lot. He has been saying this thing, that this is one of our defects in this constitution. Because in the past, our chiefs, people are talking about, we have a lot of groups. It doesn't matter. Different groupings doesn't matter. Because our chiefs, when they still have a problem, he will invite the guard chief will go. If our chief has a problem, he invite. So all of them, they meet. So they share ideas. So if our traditional leaders are part of the governance system, because we respect them a lot, those days, they are the custodians of the land. And if they say, you don't go to the riverside this day, how are you going to disobey that? We were not disobeying our chiefs, but because they've been taken totally out from the governance system and we have given it to greedy people, so when they will sign document from Accra that people should go and dig Galamse in a chief's town, when the chief has no say. But if the chiefs are part of the governance system, all this nonsense will not happen. So I think we should bring our chiefs into our governance system. That will solve this problem for us. Thank you very much, Nana.
Thank you very much. And I have Ajiman Joseph on the line. Hello, Ajiman Joseph.
Good evening, and I hope you're doing well.
I'm very well, my brother. I want to hear your thoughts on this one, Pa.
And I think the democracy in our country seems to be like, you have said it, you've come out with a brilliant ideas, but you're not going to take it.
Mm.
If it happens like that, then you, Kalima Minkebi, is not reaching anywhere. And one should attest to the fact that to voice out our grievances, the best way is to demonstrate.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be a peaceful demonstration. If people are demonstrating against illegal mining and they have been arrested and denying bail, is it the fact that once it's a demonstration and making the certain government unpopular, arrest them? The issue we have to tackle here is, did they demonstrate by the law? Were they regarded by the law? And were they listening to youth and regulations covering the demonstrations? If yes, then why? Because people have demonstrated based on some certain issues and they were free. They didn't harm them. Why then this very situation, which is very serious, which is a national concern, even those security personnel are being affected? So is it a mere fact that they are making the government unpopular, so arrest them, or they didn't go by the rules and regulations of the demonstration? If so, then to me, I think our democracy has been tempered with. Because something which is eating all of us up, and we need to talk about it. And for the mere fact that it is affecting the government, sitting government, arrest them, then you have a long way to go now.
Long way to go. Now, you see, my little beef with this arrest thing, I've kept quiet about it, right? Let's give it. Let's just say that the protesters broke the law. Let's just say they broke the law. And so the police have done the right thing, and the speed with which they have been arrested, detained, and put to court. It's maybe such. So this police, if they have this arresting power with such pace, haven't they seen anybody in the waters? But that's what I'm shocked. Let's give it that the protesters broke the law. They did something. Let's just, you know, admit that they did something wrong. And so the police did their job. Swift. Sweep them all up. Those walking to the market, those going to church, why everybody, whom? Straight to court the next day, remand them. Just say, the speed. And then we ask yourself, so if you have this speed, then why are the waters so brown? If the police have this speed to arrest and detain and rush to court, then why are the waters brown? But anyway, Nana Kwaku is on the line. Hello, Nana Kwaku.
Nana Kwesi.
Oh, Nana Kwesi. Oh, my brother, how are you?
I'm good, Nana. So, Nana, just like you just said, say about how these people were arrested. And I agree with you. Let's say they broke the law and they were arrested. Fair enough. You see, I can't count how many times on multimedia. Which part of the country are they doing galante at the roadside? Their car, they knew on news. So almost every day, it features on the news for weeks. Never did we hear that police have gone there to arrest these people. Instead, these protesters, they distracted public was property and peace and whatever. What they were doing at the roadside, I know it ain't. And now we should report. Somebody should go and report first. Nana? See, let me go on to the topic for discussion.
Mm-hmm.
It's very funny, Nana. I don't know how we are going to... Of course, this kind of democracy we are practicing, you know, it's doing us more harm than good. That is established already. But I don't know how we are going to change this, Nana. Because, first of all, when Nanadu became president, it was in one of his interviews. You see, before he came, the conversation about working on this constitution, you know, was there already, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And when he came, one of his interviews, I listened. He said, after speaking all his grammar, as usual, he said there's nothing wrong with the constitution. He doesn't say anything wrong with the constitution. That it should be called for you to be amended. I said it verbatimly. at that aside, if let's say we say we are pushing, because the genesis of all that you are saying, and if we are we have to change anything with how our country is governed, the genesis of it all will be the constitution, right? Mm-hmm. Because it will be the document to which we will operate. Now, the parliamentarians, Nana, how many years was this declaration of assets in there in parliament? Nana, this is one basic document that would have helped us hold people accountable. How many years was it in parliament? They were playing football around it. Why? Because these are documents that when it comes, we will all see with our eyes. You will declare your assets. We will all see with our eyes what you have before you came into power. And when you are leaving, we will all see. Now what happened? They fought it up to today. They are still fighting it. And even the asset declaration that they do right now, no? Can you imagine?
Oh, Nakwagu. Hello. I got my last caller is Daniel. Nakwagu, sorry. Daniel's on the line.
Good. Good evening, Anna.
Good evening.
Good, good. One of the previous callers was like, we have to elect the Speaker of Parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Point of coercion, the Speaker of Parliament always is elected
mm-hmm.
by the MPs. And the MPs, we elect the MPs.
Mm-hmm,
and the MPs elect the Speaker.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So the Speaker of Parliament is elected.
Okay.
It's the majority of the MPs that elect the Speaker, and the Speaker becomes like the head of the House. Okay. That, now, this is the second point I'm coming to make about the topic today. On my point of view, I believe the Constitution was drafted in a way to suit former President Rawlings,
mm-hmm.
may he so rest in peace, so that he will still have his power even though he left the military into the civilian rule, mm-hmm. so that he will still have his power and then control a lot of things. I think for some time now, we have grown beyond that, and we need to do what? Amend the Constitution and then take a little bit of power from the President. Because, Nana, President will appoint every board chair, appoint every DCE, everything the president. Some of you, he doesn't even know them. Yes. And almost every single decision the president has to do with. So it looks like we have to touch the constitution a little bit so that it will favor us. Well, the day-to-day people who go to the poll and queue in the hot sun mm-hmm. and vote.
Thank you very much. Professor Bafua Jimendia, your name keeps coming up. Dr. Odro Sain, your name keeps coming up. And your colleagues, but I hear that there's a police station right behind the police station. There's Galamse. I want to find out which town there is. If you want to wait to me and chew on sharp, take them to court and remind them. No. But those who are saying that they shouldn't stop because they fell foul to the law, look at the speed. So kudos to the police for the speed and efficiency. But we are saying extend it further to those who really need to be remanded. To those who really need to be remanded. Iti, please, get these ones free, because the cause for which they fight for is life and death. Well, folks, the first ever children's book written by Ohinyuri Giftianti, and it's called Princess and Jazz. The Princess and Jazz, The Pink Maltese Dog. Official release is Friday, 11th October, International Day of the Girl Child. And the launch is on Sunday, 13th October at 3 p.m. to 3 to 5 p.m. prompt. Venue, the GDA Media Limited Studios, Kokomlemle. The theme is challenges of raising a child in this era. Challenges of raising a child in this era. And if you're raising a child in this era, you know. The Princess and Jazz. Very interesting book. I said there's galanse going on behind a police station in Enyinem. We have drawn the police attention, but nothing has been done. Can you imagine? You see, Enyinem police station, there's galamse going on. And so the speed with which they ransack all these 50 people to go to. So if you don't do this, then it becomes very questionable. Very, very questionable. Say that you're very effective at your job, or you're very selective at your job. Police force, see, Enyinem police station, can you imagine? What an embarrassment. Now, folks, Saturday we are all meeting at Dodoa. Our host, Ukukuru Born Nenetei Kwesi Ajimai. Grand Deba at the Presby Park. 10 a.m. sharp. The